Now, so often we miss the sight of the big picture, don't we? We tend to see things at face value, and especially when it comes to spiritual things. Hi there. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time today takes us back to the book of Mark. We're in chapter 8, focusing in on those first 26 verses. Now, this is where Jesus feeds the multitude, but at the end of this section, he also heals a man blind, giving him sight to see everything clearly. And therein lies the focus and direction of our time today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're going to take a look at that spiritual sight that we so often need and how we get it. Here's Pastor Chris with the details.
I invite you to turn in to the Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter 8, and I've decided to take a larger section this morning. We'll look at the first 26 verses of Mark chapter 8. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, second book, chapter 8. This is the word of the Lord, beginning Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went into the district of Dalmanutha. The disciples came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 of the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And they came to Bethsaida, and some brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly, and he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Well, this is an extremely important section of the Bible, because Jesus, when we look at the big picture of what he is doing, he is training his disciples to take his gospel message to the ends of the earth. And what we've been noticing in this section of Mark, what we have here in front of us again today, this is why I wanted you to see the big picture of this, is that he is walking them through now their own problem. I said that last time in the sermon that the most effective workers of the Lord and servants of the Lord are able to preach to themselves. They are able to understand what their own problem is, and they have, having been received grace, are able now to help others with great compassion and understanding. And essentially, in Mark chapter 8, he is showing them and teaching them what major obstacles they are going to face that will stand in the way to being the success of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Well, those obstacles that will be a hindrance to that, that they are going to have to be aware of and that they are going to have to understand. One of the ways that he is walking them through this problem is for them to experience themselves what has been the problem of Israel. This is really important that we understand this, because there has been a lingering problem that we have seen with Israel. What was the problem? Well, I was reading through some Old Testament passages, and one was made known and stood out to me from Ezekiel chapter 12, when Ezekiel was speaking years previous to this, and he made a sweeping indictment against Israel that I thought, wow, that is really big for Mark chapter 7 and 8 and what Jesus is doing here. Here was the sweeping indictment of Ezekiel 12. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear me, ears to hear, but does not hear. How many times are we going to come across this to get the point, right? It's all over the place. The only way salvation would then be possible was that the Lord would come down and he would have to remedy this problem himself. And that's exactly what Ezekiel prophesied. That's exactly what Ezekiel promised to the people, that in the midst of such deafness, in the midst of such blindness, that God himself would come and he would come down and put a new spirit within people. And he would take out that very hard, stony heart, and he would give a heart of flesh so that people could see and hear and believe. That was the promise. The problem that we're studying in Mark is that Israel has been deaf and Israel has been blind to Jesus. And everything they have been doing has been in radical opposition to his ministry of the word and gospel. Well, following now what's happened, the disciples have been sharing in the same problem. And so where we have been since that incident in chapter 7 is Jesus takes his disciples and he departs, remember, to Gentile territory. He has been on, we don't know much about everything that he did in this period of his earthly ministry, but we know that he took them deep into Gentile territory, into what I have called dog country. Remember, Syrophoenician woman who admitted she was a dog? He's deep in dog country. And this is an intense time of training his disciples. Intense time. They have been deaf. They have been blind. It's remarkable, isn't it? The disciples, this whole time. And Jesus is now about, which he's been doing since that incident in chapter 7, he is now about to train them in the message of divine grace and his power to open up eyes and unstop ears so that they would hear and see, that tongues would then be loosed to go out and take his gospel to the ends of the earth. They needed that. Now, if the disciples needed that and could walk with Jesus for an amount of time and be blinded and deaf, is it not possible that we could have many people here today who've been attending church for a long time and are blind and who are deaf? Of course. I want you to think about whether that's you. And I want you to think about what Jesus must do for you. And I want you today to bow the knee and ask him if he's willing to unstop your ears, to take away the blindness of your eyes. This is a big moment in Mark's gospel. Last time we looked at this deaf man who was healed. Remember this? A deaf man was brought to him. Jesus takes the deaf man, pulls him aside, and remember what he does. Remember the imagery of this. Deaf man can't hear anything. In front of his disciples, he goes right in the ears, and then he spits on his hand and he touches his tongue, and then he looks up and goes, "Ah," deep sigh, right in front of the disciples. It's a pretty powerful sermon illustration, isn't it? It's a powerful sermon illustration of their problem. It was a spiritual kind of sign language saying to this man, "I see your problem, and I'm going to deal with it." And then he unstopped this man's ears. And remember the result of that in the last sermon, that all of a sudden the tongues were loosed, and we know this about the deaf, it affects speech. All of a sudden the tongue was loosed, and they're proclaiming everywhere, which should have been the disciples by now, proclaiming everywhere, and they were getting now a foretaste of not only their future ministry, but what they needed. Because you know your tongues will remain all stopped up until this happens, and you'll never tell anyone about Jesus. Now, ears to hear before the tongue is loosed to proclaim. It's true of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church as a whole has a certain order here. You have to have ears to hear first before you're going to do anything in the ministry. You got to be unstopped. You got to hear. And there are a lot of hearing impediments that we're finding in the Gospels. But that had led in dog country, ironically, to the fulfillment of Isaiah 35, where Jesus was here in Lebanon, and Isaiah 35 had said in Lebanon he would unstop the ears so that the Lebanon people would then go out and proclaim the gospel. Isaiah 35 was being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. We looked at this last time. Well, now we have another sort of series of events, and these two events, the symmetry here, which is absolutely beautiful, now we have the healing of a deaf man. So eyes and ears together. The healing of a blind man, and the healing of a blind man, you have the deaf and now the blind. And what does that lead to, which I didn't read in the next section of Mark? The greatest moment in the Gospels of the confession, "You are the Christ." Finally, we got there. Now, Jesus, in these miracles, is doing something that's somewhat puzzling to us. He's communicating in his actions that this was a hard thing to do. Now, it wasn't hard for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, he wanted us to understand this took a lot of work and was a slow process. Which is really encouraging, by the way. You'll see. But it seemed to be that nothing happened quickly when it came to eyes and ears. And Jesus had now to make this very clear, because now this concludes this section we've been studying that began last time with the healing of the deaf man. That concluded the section that began with the feeding of the 5,000. Today, everything's repeated again. This is deja vu. That's why I took the big section and big picture on this. It's a fascinating thing because now Mark is repeating the story. It starts with the feeding of the 4,000 and now ends with the healing of a blind man. There's two major sections here. So this is round two today. Will they get it? Will they get it? A feeding, a confrontation with the Pharisees, and a challenge that leads finally to, "You are the Christ. We believe." That's where we are. In verse 1 of chapter 8, we open up chapter 8 and we read that in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. And he called his disciples to them and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat." First feeding was in Israel. Second feeding is in dog country, Gentile country. Think about the training that's going on here for the future. He's opening up to the Gentiles. The Syrophoenician woman had said, "It's not right, I understand, to take what's holy and give to the dogs. I know what I am, I don't argue." And Jesus says, "You're right, great is your faith. I open it to you." The same word now for the Gentiles is welled up with compassion in him, a deep word that he is so full of compassion and overtaken with compassion, this is what's being communicated, that in deep concern for them, he's now concerned to feed them. It really is a loaded sort of test, again, for the disciples. I am really concerned about this multitude, dear disciples. I'm really concerned about it, that they're going to faint on the way. They've come from really far. I'm so concerned. What should we do? What should we do? This is the sense of it. Now, the first feeding, remember, when Jesus had fed the 5 early on, 5,000, the disciples were concerned that the multitude had nothing to eat. Remember what they said? They had come to Jesus and said, listen, the multitude's been with us now for these days. They're hungry. Send them away that they may go get something to eat. They may go buy food and eat. Remember what Jesus said? You give them something to eat. What do you mean you give them something to eat? We only have a few fish and loaves. What do you mean give them something to eat? And then right in front of them, he makes them all sit in the green grass. And no, we're no longer in Israel because it's not green grass. And notice the symmetry here. Now we're just in the field, in the dirt with this group. But notice there that he sits them all down and he begins to break the bread, giving thanks. And I mean, that just kept flowing from the disciples' hands. They're handing it out. Very similar to how we do communion. From the disciples' hands are handing it out, and they are just overfilled with food. Their bellies are stuffed. They take up 12 baskets of food. Well, Mark kept telling us after that they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Mark even would say later, the disciples' hearts were still hardened because they didn't understand about the loaves. Well, here we are again. Round 2. Roles are now reversed. I'm concerned for this multitude, dear disciples. They're hungry. What should we do? See the test? Ready? What do you think the disciples should say at this moment? Here's what they said. Verse 4. How can one feed these people with bread in this desolate place? You've got to be kidding me. You wonder, one pastor said that later on, you can imagine the apostles after the ascended Lord had happened. They're all sitting there around one day and they're hungry and they want to feed the multitude and they start laughing. Hey, how are we going to feed people in this desolate place? How stupid a question it was, right? They should have known by now. Jesus goes on to feed this multitude and this same miracle is again repeated. You read that they all ate and were satisfied. And now 7 baskets are taken up. Full. Now Jesus was never about filling bellies, was he? He cared about that. Of course he did. He cares to feed. But in every feeding event we've learned in the Gospels, Jesus was illustrating and teaching a spiritual truth. In the first feeding, what was his great concern? His great concern was when he saw that they were hungry, the next phrase was, and he went and he taught them. He spent all these hours teaching them about him. And John would explain this. Disciple John, who sat there and heard all of this, and you know John 6 with these feeding events, how John spoke of these feeding events when he said, he is the bread come down from heaven. That whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Well, Jesus is now testing them. I'm concerned about their weariness in the wilderness, and I'm concerned about them being faint. What was the promise? Maybe some of your favorite Old Testament verses. One of them always made a promise about the Lord and faintness, didn't he? Didn't the Lord? But they will wait for the Lord. And when he comes, he's going to renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I'm worried about them being faint. Who's here? Who's standing here? Well, he's the bread, isn't he? The scriptures have told us that he's the bread. I'm the bread of life, that whoever comes to me, whoever comes and believes in me shall never hunger. She'll never grow faint. dear disciples, I'm worried about them. They're faint. What should we do? Well, how can somebody get bread in the wilderness? How do we do that? The disciples, dumb as a doornail. These miracles are a clear revelation of who he is. How could you see that by now? All this stuff, and still say something like that. And it just illustrates the truth of our problem, I believe, and that's what Mark is wanting us. I think Mark delighted writing this, you'll see in a moment, that Mark was really showing their stupidity. You could tell people about Jesus until they're blue in the face. The natural man just doesn't receive it. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God because he's spiritually dead, spiritually discerned. And they will not hear, and they will not see. What in the world is going on? I mean, that's my question as I was working through this week. What is preventing them from seeing, and what is preventing them from hearing? And I believe the answer to that comes in what follows. On the heels of this second great miracle, guess who comes barging out? Here come the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, we read in verse 11, came out, and they began to argue with him. And they came to him, hey, we want you to show us a sign from heaven. It says they're testing him. And you say again, are you kidding? Have you not seen them? Have you not seen them everywhere? He had just done one. 4,000 people could testify that their bellies are full in the wilderness from just a few fish. And the next thing we read from Jesus, now think of the deaf man, when he goes, touches. The next thing we read from Jesus, as he heard this, is that he goes again in front of everyone. This was a giant spiritual lesson for his disciples. He sighs deeply over the blindness and the deafness of the Pharisees. And then he says to them, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. I'm not doing that. And you stop and you say, well, signs have been given to this generation all over the place. I mean, what do you mean? You just did one to this generation. Signs have been given to this generation everywhere. What Jesus was simply saying was, I refuse to be controlled by your unbelief. I refuse. No sign will ever be given in response to that attitude. And not just that. You will never be able to perceive or hear or understand my signs when I do them because of that attitude.
Well, you're listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. Chris will be back in just a moment. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. And now, once again, as promised, here's Pastor Chris.
If you're enjoying what you're hearing here at Abounding Grace Radio, please stop by our website, agradio.org. We have put together a large list of resources there for you. Not only articles, blog articles, maps to churches, but also you can find all the podcasts and videocasts there, categorized for you by date and topic for you to access at your convenience. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Please take time to stop by.
Thank you, Chris. And friend, thank you for joining us here today on Abounding Grace. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.